The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back.
Welcome, patriots and freedom fighters. I'm broadcasting from my home studio in downtown Belmont, Pennsylvania, worldwide as the National Intel Report on Republic Broadcasting Network, Liberty Lighthouse on Mojo 50 Radio, Patriot Nation Radio Network, and any place else you find or see the show. Also, live streaming to a brand new video platform tonight for the first time. That's kick.com, K-I-C-K.com. Another place to find this wonderful programming. Sit back, relax. We got 2 hours of common sense and constitutional discussion. I am your host, Peter Serafine. And tonight, I'm going to start this first segment, this first half hour. I want to talk a little bit about this debt ceiling nonsense, mumbo jumbo. That stuff. And then move on in the second segment, the bottom of this first hour. We got Scott Thompson from Right to Bear Insurance going to join the show. We're going to talk about some 2A Second Amendment gun rights stuff going on. And then the top of the second hour, I've got about a 20-minute video of a doctor who was presenting at a committee for the third annual COVID committee for the EU Parliament in Brussels, Dr. David Martin on May 3rd, 2023, so about a month ago. It's about a 20-minute speech video, whatever, and it's something that I think everybody should hear. So I'm going to play the whole 20-minute thing in its entirety, and then for that last half hour, I'm hoping that you've got a whole lot of comments, questions, comments, and concerns to be calling in and talking about that. Now, this is a live call-in radio show. So if you're not familiar, get a pen and paper ready. Write down this number, 512-248-8252. If you prefer the toll-free version, it's 800-313-9443. That's how you call in. Get on air. We also, you can join the program by commenting on the video streams on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. You comment there, shows up on my little computer screen, and I see it here. So that's another way to do it. Rumble is a great place to watch the video, but unfortunately, I don't see your comments, and I can't be switching back and forth from screen to screen all the time. So, yeah, if you want to comment, go to Twitch or Kick or Facebook, and you can comment, and I'll see them, and I can read them. Like, Jared James Law, who says he loves RBN, and Sarah Nichols, who has shared out the show on her social media accounts. And I greatly appreciate that, Sarah. Everybody, if you could do that, that's one of the biggest things you can do to help those of us on the right side of the political aisle, where these algorithms don't help us be found. We don't show up in searches. If you like Google search Republic Broadcasting, it's probably like the third page of results before you actually get to RBN's website. I don't know that for sure, but I'm just saying that's kind of how it works. So the way we get around those algorithms is with your help. When you share out a link to your friends, your family, your social media accounts, and you let them know where we are. See, don't need Google's help if we all share to our friends. And Mr. Jared James Law says he is listening from Scotland. That is awesome. Love seeing people watching and listening from around the world. Scotland. That's awesome. So like I said, live call-in show, 512-248-8252. Let's start out with this, this debt ceiling nonsense that's been going on lately. You know, one of the old-fashioned rule of thumb kind of things, one of those, you know, farmer's wisdom type phrases out there. If you find yourself in a hole, well, the first thing you got to do is stop digging. And as of yesterday, when I looked, our national debt was $31.83 trillion dollars. I'm going to in usdebtclock.org right now and pull it up and see if it has changed too terribly much. And no, it's about the same. 31.83 so far. And I'm clicking the wrong button. All right, so $31.83 trillion as of yesterday, as of today. But, you know, the first 20, it was 23 years. That is an increase of $26 trillion in 23 years. You get that? So from 1776 to the year 2000, 224 years, our national debt at the end of that 224 years was $5.7 trillion. $5.7 trillion. And here it is 23 years later, and it's $31.83 trillion. $26 trillion increased in 23 years. That's insane. And if we keep spending at this current rate, again, using usdebtclock.org as my source, if we keep spending at this current rate in 4 years, in 2027, our national debt will be $42.7 trillion. $42.7. Oh, my God. This is a hole that we can't dig out of if we're going to keep spending. But what happens when this, you know, the debt ceiling debate comes up and comes around, and you know, the two teams or two halves of the same team or whatever, the blue guys and the red guys, the D's and the R's, they sit down together and they hack out a deal and they finagle and negotiate like they do for everything in Washington, D.C. And they keep raising the limit. That is insane. So think about this in your own house, right? So we're spending about 25% more money, we being our federal government. The federal government of the United States of America is spending about 25% more money than they are bringing in the forms of revenue and taxes every year. 25% more every year. These tiny itty bitty spending cuts that don't really mean anything at $31.8 trillion debt. If you want to get anywhere with our financial situation, you want to get anywhere with our debt, we've got to cut 25% just to even consider breaking even. But we cut, you know, 2% here and there. We're sending money around the world to help other countries. What's the commercial I hear all the time for one of the big name radio jocks? It says, you know, why are we spending, you know, billions of dollars to South Africa so that South Africa can dismantle and close down their coal plants, their coal-fired electrical plants? Why are American taxpayers paying for that? And that's a valid question. And for that matter, if we are $31.8 trillion in debt, why are we giving money to any nonprofit organizations, governmental, non-governmental? I don't care. Why are any of them getting a penny in tax money if we're that far in debt? It's all politics and money and power. That's all it is. Has nothing to do with you or I. They don't care about us anymore. They don't care that it's our money that they're spending. Well, let's talk about this current debt ceiling thing that they did. I don't think anybody out there really expected there to be a no debt ceiling increase. Would have been awesome. That's not going to happen. But what they did do scares the bejesus out of me. McCarthy and Biden's puppets sat in a room and basically erased the debt ceiling for 2 years. They didn't raise it. They didn't say, oh no, you can go up to $44 trillion. They erased it. There is no limit for the next 2 years. There is absolutely no limit on how much money our federal government can spend. That should scare the crap out of every man, woman, and child in this country. You know, the COVID thing came around and we forgot all about a whole bunch of laws and we just started spending like crazy. So our leaders in Washington, D.C. figured out to spend.
Sat out all night, all was downtown.
Well, that I think FBI. Limit, and now they're going to find an excuse to keep spending. What do you think? Give me a call. Tell me what you think at 512-248-8252, 800-313-9443. I mean, I'm not Nostradamus or anything, but that's my prediction. Going to, you know, there's no limit. So what's to stop them? Yeah. I think the whole debt ceiling thing is ridiculous. I think that should be up to we the people. I mean, clearly, we don't trust our folks in Washington, D.C. anymore. Every time there's a poll about whether or not there should be a balanced budget amendment, every time somebody does a poll like that, it comes back that 80 or more percent of voters say that we should have a balanced budget amendment. So what do you think the voters would do if we were given this debt limit stuff? I don't know. I think that the American people would say, no, you can't increase the debt. I did a show once, probably 2 years ago now, where I took the national debt and basically dropped, I don't know, a dozen zeros off of the number to make it something more household-like. And then I went through how much we spend on different things and did the same thing. I dropped off X number of zeros. And the amount of money that we give to arts and humanities while we're $32 trillion in debt. It's ridiculous. That is almost, I mean, this equivalent here is that, you know, you owe so much money. You owe enough money, you know, 12 times how much you make every year is your debt. But yet, you keep buying Picassos to hang up in your shack. That's the level of stupidity that our federal government has when it comes to spending money. Let's take a quick short little sponsor break here.
I'm proud to be partnering with Cedar Mill Fine Firearms. Cedar Mill Fine Firearms does some of the coolest firearms cases you'll find anywhere. Have you ever wanted to carry your AR-15 discreetly? How about a rifle case that looks like a guitar case until you open it up? Go to cedarmillfirearms.com and use the code LIGHTHOUSE the next time you're looking for a cleaning kit or a case to carry your firearms. That's cedarmillfirearms.com and use the code LIGHTHOUSE.
And if you're looking for a Father's Day gift for me, I still have not bought, but still want, one of those rifle cases that looks like a guitar case. That's just cool. Not that I had really ever have a reason to carry my AR around town or anything like that. But if I wanted to, that would be a cool way to do it. Let's see here. We got a comment in the chat room that says, when there's no check on the Zionist banker Fed, the will to continue to rape, pillage, subvert until our husk of a country is completely bled out. Now it's beyond money. It's our military being raped. It is a lot. They're ruining everything in our country right now. But let's talk about that money stuff, right? How do we get that control back from our federal government, back from the House of Representatives and the Senate? How do we get our control back from these guys when we are so far in debt and they keep doing this stuff? I'm looking for suggestions from you. You, the listeners out there, you're smarter than I am. I promise you, you're smarter than I am. So give me a call. Tell me what you think. 512-248-8252. And Mr. Scott Thompson, my guest for the evening, he's arrived early. Oh, Scott, did you want to come on the show early? Is that why you're here? Let's see here. What do you think, Scott?
Hey, I'm ready for you. Whenever you're ready for me, I'm ready for you.
All right, well, we're going to have to go to a commercial break here real quick. But first, we got to do this.
Our resident expert on all things Second Amendment, FFL license holder, firearms instructor, and representative from Right to Bear Insurance, Scott Thompson.
Mr. Scott Thompson, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. I like the new intro thing you got for me.
Yeah, I figured you're back often enough. I should probably make some kind of an intro for you.
I like it.
You have any comment before we move on to the 2A stuff? Do you have any comment about what I was talking about? How dare they raise a debt ceiling and not just raise it, but basically erase it for 2 years?
Yeah, but I was a little bit hurt that you took my wife's side on continuing to buy Picassos when we're having other problems. You know, my shed needs Picassos too. I think it's a dangerous precedent because one thing I've known about the government is once they get something, they don't like to give it up. And so when you say, hey, you know what, we don't have a debt ceiling for 2 years, now that's been broached. So now in 2 years, what stops them from going, hey, you know what, let's make the next one no debt ceiling for 5 years and change the game. You know, just like every time you hear that there's a half-cent tax that's going to fund something, and just once we fund the new stadium or once we fund the bridge or whatever, that tax is going away. And then the bridge gets paid for time and time again. And that tax is still there. Once the government takes something, they don't like to give it up, especially money.
And in fact, they usually end up finding ways to add to it, you know, income tax started at, you know, the high end. The rich people paid 1%, and Woodrow Wilson promised it would never go above 1%.
Yeah.
I don't know what your tax rate is, but mine's definitely way above 1%.
Yeah, yeah. My accountant just gave me the news not too long ago, and it's much more than 1%. And look what they were able to do in the early days with 1%. Everyone was taken care of. Everything was taken care of. It's government bloat.
Yep. We don't have a revenue problem.
No. You know,
$4 trillion a year that our federal government brings in is plenty. We have a spending problem, a government bloat, government overreach, government control of everything in your life problem.
And especially when they spend money that there's no measurable return on that investment. You don't know what that money has gotten you.
They never report on it. They don't track it. They don't tell us where it goes.
Right.
They say, we're going to give $5 trillion for COVID relief. But then, like, how much of it was spent? How much of it was pocketed by politicians at multiple levels? How much? We don't know any of that.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw this recent story, and this might be just a Florida thing. Maybe not. But people recently were receiving COVID test kits in the mail that they didn't ask for, that they didn't request. And come to find out, there are doctor's offices out there that have somehow gotten a hold of your insurance information, and they've sent, you know, submitted for you to get your tests sent to your house, and then they get money for referring, and you never did it, and now this is a charge against your insurance, and there's a whole big scheme with it. Somebody's making a lot of money off of that.
Oh yeah.
And they won't prosecute. That's the sad thing, is when they find the waste. And I'll give example. In shortly after Hurricane Charlie in Florida, they set up a station where you could come in, and if you suffered damages, you filled out a form that said what your damages were, and they were giving you gift cards on the spot. And the gift cards were $500. And so all you had to do was say, I live at this address, and I suffered this damage, and they would give you a gift card, $500. They found out years later, and why it took this long, I don't know, that a lot of the people, not all, some people legitimately were in need, but a lot of the people that filled out those forms, they filled out a form to an address that never had a home on it. Right. It was a vacant lot that they didn't own. Mm-hmm. So there was fraud. So you know who the person is because you took their license. You know, and the decision was made, well, we're not going to prosecute them because it would be too many people to go after. It would cost more money to go after them than we would ever recover from them. So we'll just let it go. Well, guess what's going to happen every time you have a national disaster?
You've incentivized bad behavior.
100%. Boy, oh boy, they love to do that these days.
What's funny is, you know, I'm a mailman in my full-time regular job, and that actually happened. I remember delivering some, small package to a customer, and they're like, I didn't order anything. What's this? And they rip it open, and it's COVID kits. I didn't order this crap. Where did this come from?
Yep.
And so, yeah, well, you just explained it. That's great.
Yep. And his doctor, and I don't know the numbers. I'll always be honest. I don't know the numbers, but I've heard it's hundreds of dollars for every time a doctor could say that they, because what they're doing too is they're saying, well, we suspected they had COVID because we had an in-office visit. So they get paid for that. They get paid to send out the test kits. And it's probably several hundred dollars per person that they've sent that to. Do the math. You send it to 100 patients in your list, and at $200 a pop, you just made $2,000.
Right.
It's crazy.
Hey, well, if you're really interested in this COVID stuff, you're going to have to stick around after your segment and listen to Dr. David Martin at the EU Parliament last month. It was freaking awesome. 3-minute commercial break. Be right back on the other side with Scott Thompson right there.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in
trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science, analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Welcome back to the show. Sorry about that. Little technical difficulty. That was a little longer than 3 minutes. My bad. Me and my computer connection issues. I don't know what's going on. I freaking give up. But anyway, free speech is not free. I am your host, Peter Serafine, this evening. The other fellow with me tonight is Scott Thompson from Right to Bear Insurance. But I want to remind you that free speech is not free. Please support this free speech network, whatever network you're listening on. I greatly appreciate it. So, Scott, you sent me an article that you thought would be a good thing to talk about tonight, and I had written down something that was in my own state here in Pennsylvania that I wanted to talk about. And, well, since I'm the host, we're going to start with what I want to talk about. Just kidding. I don't know what's going on. I quit. So here in my home state of Pennsylvania, we had a whole bunch of gun control measures put forward. And the ones that seem to be doing pretty well, actually, through our legislature, are universal background checks, red flag laws, and mandatory reporting of lost and stolen guns. Thankfully, the safe storage laws did not get a vote. They were deemed controversial enough that nobody thought they could possibly pass, so they didn't get a vote. Now, for those out there in the real world that don't know, the so-called universal background check, that just means that, like here in my state of Pennsylvania, we don't have to do a FBI background check on a long gun sale between private parties. And they just want to put an end, they want to make it so that we have to, you know, go to a gun store and do a background check for a long gun between two friends. And of course, red flag laws are just bad. I've never seen a red flag law in any state that actually doesn't violate like three of our constitutional rights.
Yeah.
But then mandatory reporting of lost and stolen guns. I don't really have anything against that one. Do you?
I don't, but as long as we can identify when you have to report it, because I have seen some places where people are pushing that the gun has to be reported stolen or lost within 3 days of it being stolen or lost. And I can't get behind that because it has to be a day when you notice that it was stolen or lost. Because if let's say I have a hunting cabin up in North Florida and I have some guns in a safe there. If I only go there for a couple weekends out of the year, if I don't know, do I have to go up every day and now check on the guns to make sure that I'm falling within 3 days? So it would have to be based on when you noticed that it was lost or stolen. And if it's based on that, I have no problem. But when they try to sneak in within X amount of time of the theft or the loss, I can't get behind that because it's not like your car. You know your car is missing if you use it every day. Some of your guns, you don't know if they're missing until you go and do an inventory of them. And I'm not saying we're haphazardly leaving guns around, but you know, if something somehow someone got into my safe and took one of my guns, I might not notice that for a while. So,
I get into my little handgun safe, my bedside handgun safe every day, but I don't get into my big, tall, long gun cabinet.
Right.
But you know, a few times a year, really.
Right.
I mean, somebody could clean that out and I wouldn't even notice for potentially months.
Right. And I'd hate you to be in a situation where you say then, well, I guess it could have happened between February and today. And they go, well, it wasn't reported within 3 days. So you're now going to be charged with a crime.
Right. And then, you know, you say, no, it just happened yesterday.
Right. And now you've.
And then they're like, "Oh, really? Well, it was used to rob a bank 3 weeks ago." So
right, yep.
Now I'm gonna charge it for bank robbery.
Right. All yep. Right. No, but you're right.
Well, the story that you said, yeah, it could be reasonable, I mean, but it's like red flag laws. Like I understand what they're trying to do. You don't want crazy people to have guns. I get that. Nobody wants crazy people to have guns. But we do have a right to protect our property, and you can't take it from us without going through due process.
Yes.
And due process isn't really due process if I'm not involved. If you know, your little law enforcement agency and some judge get together and they're like, oh, yeah, this guy's nuts, let's take his guns, and you don't talk to me, that's not really due process.
I 100% agree.
Maybe if somebody out there would write a red flag law where they, you know, come pick you up and it's like, all right, we're going to have this emergency hearing, go find them. And they pick you up and drag you into court and you're actually involved in the process. maybe, depending on wording and language and how they, you know, plan to do it, I might be able to get behind that. But none of them are that way. All of the ones that exist today and all the ones that are being proposed today are, here's an accusation, and here's a judge that's going to make the decision.
And I will say,
You're not there. Your attorney's not there. They don't even have a, what do they call that? Like a guardian ad litem kind of attorney who's just representing gun owners at large through this process.
Right. Which is, honestly, that's a pretty good idea to have a system where there is, if you're going to have that emergency hearing, that there be an attorney that fights for that right of this person. You know, where the, you know, show us the police reports where there's been problems, show us medical reports, show us all these things to fight for you. It's kind of funny, when I went through an annulment years ago through the church, there was a person assigned to fight for that the marriage was valid in the church. And clearly, we'd already civilly divorced, so there was no, you know, but there was someone assigned to fight for the marriage. And you're right, there should be someone assigned to fight for the rights of the person that this emergency hearing is against. That's a great point.
Yeah, that would at least be a step in the right direction if you actually want to protect the rights of we the people.
Yep.
All right. Let's see here. Live call-in show. Call in with your questions, comments, and concerns to 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443. We're talking to Scott Thompson from Right to Bear Insurance, which, by the way, Right to Bear Insurance is the most affordable carry insurance on the market. And it's not only the most affordable carry insurance on the market, it's the carry insurance I use. And I'll save you another 10%. If you use code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com, that's code LIGHTHOUSE at protectwithbear.com to save 10% off the already low, low price of as little as $11 a month.
You're listening to Liberty Lighthouse Talk Radio, only better.
Okay, so Scott, the article that you sent me was Governor Newsom in Crazyfornia calling for a 28th Amendment, which I don't know. It was, he basically wanted to enshrine gun control into the Constitution as the 28th Amendment, which I consider to be pretty crazy.
I agree. But here's the thing I will say. This is the proper way, if you want to get rid of the Second Amendment, the proper way is to get an amendment, just like, you know, getting rid of things. So it's the proper way. However, what I think is just political gamesmanship is he's saying, I'm proposing the 28th Amendment, which will, as he put it, propose broadly supported gun control. Yeah, broadly supported by the American public and gun owners, which I take offense to that. But saying that the Second Amendment will be unchanged, we're just going to add control. Well, you can't unchange the Second Amendment that says shall not be infringed by then infringing them later. So it's right. A political
stance. That's just retarded.
Yeah. And I wanted to kind of point out, like, the four things that he said are broadly supported by the American public and gun owners, which, again, I've said this 1,000 times. Numbers lie and liars use numbers. I can come up with any type of poll you need. You tell me what you want, I'll get you the numbers to support it. But there's a big difference. You know, I think if you ask any American public or gun owner, you know, should we do something to stop criminals from getting guns and using them in mass shootings? I think we'd all say yes, we should do something. But what that something is varies greatly between the left and the right. So one of the things is they want to raise the federal minimum age to purchase a firearm from 18 to 21. And what's funny about that is, and we've talked about this, I've heard you talk about this on your show before, is if the age of majority is 18 for everything really except for alcohol, why would we change
alcohol, tobacco?
Yeah. Is tobacco 18 or 21?
21 now. They raised it, I don't know, back under Trump.
Okay. See, that's how far out I am about tobacco. I don't smoke, so I'm not affected. I don't see it. But yeah, so alcohol and tobacco are the only thing where 21 is the age of majority. And what's even more offensive is if you look at some of the things that the left are pushing, like in, as you put it, crazy fornia. I like that. I'm going to borrow that term. In crazy fornia, they've actually proposed that people as young as 16 should be allowed to vote in presidential elections because they'll be 18.
Right.
When the president. So for voting, we're going to lower the age because you're mature enough to pick the leader of the free world, but you're not mature enough to handle a gun properly. And they're also, and I don't want to go off on this tangent, but they're also now they're wanting to let kids as young as 6 make decisions about their sexual, you know, identity and their future. At 6, they can make this lifelong determination that has drastic effects on them, health-wise and mental health-wise. Yet, the guns, we got to bump that up. So things that we want you to do younger. Things that we want you to have to wait. That's kind of a problem with the genuineness of that discussion. Plus, also, if you look at it, Florida changed from 18 to 21 on long guns back after Parkland. And you look at almost all of the shootings, the people were over 21 for the most part, most of the shootings. So the 18 to 21 really doesn't, if your goal is to affect people committing crimes, we're talking, you're going after such a small subset of them.
Right.
The other thing was the mandatory background checks, which, you know, here's the problem I have with the mandatory background check process. And in Florida, there is a mandatory check on any gun sale through a licensed manufacturer, importer, or dealer. But you can do private transaction for handguns or long guns without a check. Still, most of the shootings in Florida did not come from a personal transaction. It came from a gun store anyway. So the background checks, they do root out certain things, but they're not perfect. And what happens is when you say the background check and they don't say, it says to prevent truly dangerous people from purchasing a gun. Well, what's your definition of a truly dangerous person?
Well, to prove that they're not perfect, you know, a crack addict Hunter Biden was able to buy a gun going through the proper background check.
Absolutely. So we already have, and let me ask you, where are they at in that investigation? Yeah. Uh-huh. See, there's no investigation because he's politically connected to the highest level.
To be somewhat fair about that, yes, it's a felony to lie on that form.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's one of the least prosecuted felonies in our nation. I did the number, like less than 1% are prosecuted.
Yep.
So this goes to the hypocrisy, just like you were saying with the age thing. Oh, you could be 6 years old and cut your junk off, and at 16 we'll let you vote. But oh my God, you've got to be 21 if you want to buy a gun, smoke, or drink.
Right.
Which is, okay, so that's insane. The other insane part about it, the hypocrisy, I forgot my train of thought. Where were we going? Hunter Biden,
and less
enforcement. The enforcement. Okay, so if I'm a gun control person and I think guns are bad, we need to get guns off the streets, we need to get guns out of the hands of bad people.
Yep.
Wouldn't the easiest thing to do to be to prosecute the 2,000 or 3,000 times a year where people lie on that form?
Of course.
Why aren't we doing that? That doesn't require new laws. That doesn't require anything other than somebody pointing at, you know, whoever, what, the ATF, and saying, do your job.
Right. Well, and also look at why are we not enforcing in some of these states, somebody, a criminal who is caught with a gun and they don't prosecute that crime. Every time you catch a criminal, a felon, someone who shouldn't have a gun, you catch them with a gun, charge them. But unfortunately, because of certain policies in place, you mm-hmm. get someone who has a gun who has even used a gun in a crime. Recently, there was, and I don't know enough information about this, but there was just, and I think it might have been in Crazy Fornia also. In fact, it was. A police officer went to a call and was immediately attacked by the suspect. It was domestic violence. He punched her in the face a couple times. They went to the ground. He took her gun, pointed it at her face, pulled the trigger. It jammed. And then he was able to rack the slide, and then it worked, and he shot at her a couple times and missed. He was arrested for attempted murder, battery LEO, all the things, and a jury found him not guilty. Because they said, they believed the defense attorney that said, well, that police officer had no right to talk to him. And if she did her job right, you know, then he should go to jail. But because she didn't, he could have punched her 100 times and it wouldn't matter. And that's simply right. not true. Just because someone didn't do their job right doesn't give you the courts have ruled that over and over again. You don't have the right to attack them just because they were wrong. So it's we're going to a place where we're not enforcing the crimes that we should on the criminals, but we want to enforce them on the gun owners who are law-abiding citizens and who have never committed a crime. And that's a
problem. And that's been our that's the argument of the gun enthusiast from the beginning is
yep.
you know, you pass the average gun enthusiast has their guns locked in a safe unless yep. they're on their person. They're you know very safe with them. They follow all the safety rules. You know, there's what is it? Estimated 300 million guns in this country in the hands of private citizens. If the law abiding were a problem, you'd know it.
Yeah, because there's a lot less
300 million of them. Yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah, and that's where it's ridiculous.
Right, and so, but again, going back to the hypocrisy of it, you know, guns are bad. We need to take guns away. We're going to make it harder for you to buy an AR. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But we're going to let these people caught with firearms. But we're just no cash bail for them.
Yep,
and. You know, these people that use firearms in crimes, well, we're going to get rid of minimum sentences for them.
Yep.
The hypocrisy of our politicians has no limits.
I agree. And when you look at, you know, one of the other things that the 28th Amendment that he wants to apply for is instituting a reasonable waiting period for all gun purchases.
Mm-hmm.
Which it's interesting that he says reasonable gun waiting period. What's the number?
Right.
Well, why not just say 3 days, 5 days, 7 days, whatever it is? It's to leave it open for them to put, oh, well, you passed this and now we're going to make it 21 days or whatever the number is. And the reality is that they
did
they
you call, ever hear the story of.
I think I lost you.
What this is. I honestly, I have no idea what the heck is wrong with my internet.
I thought you were putting me into a karaoke spotlight. I was ready to start singing.
Yeah. were you doing like a fantastic guest host job and just filling in? Anyway, what I was trying to say beforehand was, did you ever hear the story
about Charlton Heston during the L.A. riots, when he's at home and the L.A. riots are going on, and all of his Hollywood leftist buddies are all calling him saying, oh, can I borrow a gun? I went to buy one, but they said I had to wait. And he's like, yep, you pushed for that crap. Remember? Good luck.
No, but that is a great story. And that is true. You know, be careful what you wish for, you know, and everyone says they don't need a gun until they need a gun. Right.
Right.
And I can tell you this, I'm going to be prepared and you're going to be prepared. And there's millions of people like us, but some of these people who, when the time comes where they need a gun and they go buy it, they're not going to be prepared. They haven't trained with it. They don't know what it's like. They don't know how it acts. They don't know how to clear a jam. And that's the importance. And that's what the Second Amendment was about, was giving everybody the right to have guns so that you could have your gun. You could train with your gun so that if it ever came time to defend this country against a threat, foreign or domestic, that you knew how to do it. You were prepared. I just imagine some of those Hollywood elites that were calling Charlton Heston, how they would react if they're sitting there on their couch in their mansion with a gun in their hand and someone broke in. Mm-hmm. I'd question whether any of them could hit a target approaching them. I bet you they wouldn't. And because they've never prepared and they've never trained. And the waiting period, one of the things that they've done in Florida is there is a mandatory 3-day wait if you don't have your concealed weapons and firearm license. So you do have a 3-day wait. Now, what's that?
At least you got a way around it.
Yes, yes. And it's an easy way. It's not very hard. But there's a caveat to that, and people call it a loophole, but it's not a loophole. It's there by design. And the caveat says that the 3-day wait, they have to give, there's three answers they can give you: denied, accepted, or a conditional release. So if you're denied, you don't get the gun. If you're approved or accepted, you get the gun. A conditional release says, hey, the 3 days is up, but we haven't been able to fully make a determination yet. So you can get the gun, but you can't transfer that gun. If we come back and say it's denied, then you have to turn the gun back in. And which is okay. It's better than, because what they started doing when Nikki Fried was the Commissioner of Agriculture, because in Florida, the same agency that regulates your citrus fruit also regulates your gun, because it just makes sense.
That's brilliant.
So she started doing a thing where they were no longer doing that conditional approval. And what they were doing is just saying, well, we just haven't had time to get to it yet. I mean, we're really busy and people were waiting 90, 120 days to get a handgun when they bought guns before. And the funny thing is there, I've seen stories where a man walks into a gun store, wants to buy a gun. He does everything right. And they say, oh, we're not sure. 45 days later, they still haven't given an answer. He goes back in the store and says, well, can I buy this other gun? And he buys that gun, does the paperwork. 3 days later, walks out with the second gun, but they still haven't given him the clearance on the first. How much sense does that make?
None. That's bureaucracy. That's what happens when government gets involved in pretty much anything.
Yep.
They screw things up. Hey, we're coming up to the final break for your segment anyway. A little warning to anybody out there. If you are watching on YouTube, I recommend that you go someplace else and watch. Twitch would be my recommendation. We are going to go into the second hour with content that would probably get us kicked off of YouTube. So we're going to kill the YouTube feed to protect the RBN YouTube account. So if you check the videos, you check the chat stream, I'm sure that somebody has put in there, get off of YouTube and search for Liberty Lighthouse or National Intel Report on Rumble, Twitch, Kick is the new one, DLive, any of those other video platforms, but not YouTube. We're going to drop YouTube soon. Real quick, Scott, where can they find you?
They can find me at protectwithbear.com, where, again, they can sign up for Right to Bear, and they can use Lighthouse as their code to get 10% off. Or you can find me on YouTube under Online Gun Safety Class, and or YouTube or Facebook. Online Gun Safety Class is my personal one, or also the Right to Bear on both platforms, and Instagram, Right to Bear Association. So find me on any of those places.
Awesome. And Right to Bear is not just a sponsor. I really am a member. I really do believe it is the most affordable and therefore, you know, the one that makes the most sense carry insurance out there. If you own a firearm, whether you carry it or not, you should have carry insurance. I get questioned all the time. We'll be just, you know, running to the grocery store or something. And I'm like, okay. And I run upstairs and she hears me getting into the gun safe. And we're just going to the grocery store. I'm like, yep, we're going out that front door. I'm getting a handgun.
Yep.
The one time you don't have it is the one time you're going to need it. The same thing goes to your carry insurance. You're going to want to get it before you actually need it. Thank you very much, Scott. We'll see you in a month.
All right. Thank you.
3-minute commercial break. We'll be back on the other side in 3 minutes. Please stop watching YouTube and go someplace else, because we're about to lose you.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at TLBTalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.